I'd ask you to turn with me this afternoon your Bibles to Matthew 7. There we'll begin reading at verse 7 through to 11, or 12. Hear now God's holy word. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So far, reading of God's holy word. I ask you would also turn with me in the back of your psalters to Lord's Day 46. It can be found on page 894. There the question is asked, why has Christ commanded us to address God as our Father? To awaken in us at the very beginning of our prayer what should be basic to our prayer, a childlike reverence and trust that through Christ God has become our Father and will much less refuse to give us what we ask in faith than will our parents refuse us the things of this life. Why the words, who is in heaven? These words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty in an earthly way, and to expect from his almighty power everything needed for body and soul. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, John Patton, the Scottish missionary to the South Pacific, had confidence in his father's love for him. When he left his small village on foot to begin his missionary journey, his father walked with him for the first few miles. And this is the way that John Patton describes their party. He writes, "For the last half mile or so, we walked on together in almost unbroken silence. My father's tears fell fast when our eyes met each other with looks for which all speech was vain. We halted upon reaching the appointed parting place. He grasped my hand firmly for a minute in silence, and then solemnly and affectionately said, 'God bless you, my son. May God prosper you and keep you from all evil.' Unable to say more, in tears, we embraced and parted. I ran off as fast as I could, and when about to turn a corner in the road where he would lose sight of me, I looked back and saw him still standing, gazing at me. Waving my hat in adieu, I was around the corner and out of sight in an instant, but my heart was too full and sore to carry me further, so I darted into the side of the road and wept for a time. Then rising up cautiously, I climbed the dike to see if he was still standing where I left him. And just at that moment, I caught a glimpse of him climbing the dike and looking for me. He did not see me, and after he had gazed eagerly in my direction for a while, he started walking toward home. I watched through blinding tears till his form faded from my gaze, and then hastened on my way." John Patton and his father shared an affection for one another that went beyond words. And they share the kind of love that Jesus wants us to experience in God the Father. an intimacy that enables us always to approach our Father in heaven with confidence, knowing that He loves us more than words can say and desires to provide us with every good thing. I bring you God's word this afternoon as summarized for us in Lord's Day 46 with the following theme, the wonder of addressing God as our Father in heaven. Beloved, because prayer is so important, Jesus taught us to pray with the Lord's Prayer. And the very first thing that Jesus taught us with this prayer was how to pray like God's own dear child, our Father in heaven. And we need to see that these are truly profound words that you or I take upon our lips each and every time. Our Father in heaven? Of all the words that we can say, none compared to these four words. We've come to know the Lord's Prayer so well and have said these words, our Father in heaven, so often that we run the risk that it has ceased to astonish us. But just think about this for a moment. We are allowed to call God, the God of the universe, the Lord God Almighty, the incomprehensible and infinite, the all-knowing, the ever-present, the unchanging, the all-powerful and holy God, our Father. This is truly incredible. The words, our Father in heaven, awakens our hearts to a marvelous privilege that is ours in and through Jesus Christ. And it is this wonder that Christ wants us to understand when we come to God in prayer. This is why the Catechism starts off by saying that Christ commands us to call God our Father, to awaken in us at the very beginning of our prayer what should be basic to our prayer, a childlike reverence and trust that through Christ, God has become our Father. Beloved, the moment that we begin to pray, one of the first things that Christ wants to kindle in us, wants us to embrace and to be assured of, is that through Christ, God is our Father in heaven. When we lift up our hearts to God, Christ wants us to know that we have a Father in heaven who is listening, a Father in heaven who is our Father, and we are His children because of our Savior Jesus Christ. We read in John 1 verse 12, to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. You know, an unbeliever may call God their creator and their judge, but not their Father. Only through Christ and faith in Him are we made royal blood of heaven, adopted children of God. We read in Romans 8 verse 15, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Beloved, what a status is ours. And the moment we take the words, our Father in heaven, on our lips, what they do is they remind us immediately of this very special relationship that we have with God. That we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. We are His children, and He is our Father in heaven. And whenever we pray, we unlock the treasure of intimate communion with our Father in heaven. The heart of a child who loves their father approaches them with both a childlike awe and a trust, with both the deepest reverence and the warmest confidence. This confidence, this trust, comes from intimacy, from knowing that your Father loves you and cares for you. And Jesus wants us to know that no matter how far we may feel estranged from God, no matter how we may at times feel like a prodigal,
When we lift up our hearts in prayer to our Father in heaven, our Father in heaven has already seen us from afar and is waiting to throw his arms around us as his child. He's there to give us all things. Romans 8 verse 32 reminds us, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Beloved, when Jesus teaches us to address the God of heaven and earth as our Father in heaven, he is reminding us that we can, with all boldness and confidence, ask him all things, just as dear children ask their fathers for what they need. As the Catechism says, God has become our Father and will much less refuse to give us what we ask in faith than will our parents refuse us the things of this life. God the Father is not only a good provider, he is the best provider of all. Jesus speaks of this in Matthew 7 by asking a couple of rhetorical questions. Jesus says in Matthew 7 verse 9 and 10, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? To understand these questions, imagine the following scene. Johnny is celebrating his 6th birthday. There will be party with balloons and streamers, cake and candles, and best of all, presents. Johnny can hardly wait. For weeks he has been dropping hints about what kind of present he would like best. Now the big day arrives, the guests arrive, and sure enough, his father gives him a large box wrapped in shiny paper with ribbons attached. Johnny tears off the wrapping paper, opens the box, and finds a sack of gravel. It is such a bitter disappointment that the poor boy bursts into tears. Then it is time to eat. So Johnny cheers up a little bit. His father brings out a silver platter covered with a silver dome and sets it in the middle of the table. And with a grand gesture, the father whips off the dome and a cloud of steam rises from the platter. And then as the steam clears, Johnny sees a slimy snake slithering towards him across the table. Beloved, the whole scene that I'm talking about here is unimaginable. Even the worst of fathers knows how to give his son a nice birthday present, which is exactly the point that Jesus was trying to make. Jesus goes on to say in verse 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Beloved, what Jesus makes clear is that God will richly provide everything we need because he is our gracious heavenly Father. As earthly fathers, we certainly try not to refuse our children the things of this life that are necessary. But there's always only so much that we can do or able to do. Earthly fathers are subject to all kinds of sins and faults and inabilities. They're not able to give all things, know all things, protect us from all things, comfort us in all things. They're not wise in all things or perfect in all things. An earthly father does not always know how to advise their children or know what is best for them. Their affections are not always what they should be. As earthly fathers, we are liable to disappoint our children at times. But God is the perfect Father because he is perfect. He is perfectly good. He is perfectly wise. He knows what is best for us. He is able to guide us in a perfect way. He knows all things and has the perfect means to bring about all that we need. He works out all things for our good as our loving Father. There are times when in our lives we may wonder if God loves us because of the things that are taking place in our lives. But we should never, never question or doubt God's love for us. with God, there is a love of magnificent and unchanging proportions. His care and concern and affection for us are not dependent upon His moods or our good behavior. Rather, it flows out to us in a clear, pure, powerful stream that has as its source and strength God's own great heart of love. It is constant and it is unconditional. This love is shown to us in the greatest way, that He sent His only begotten Son to pay the penalty for all our sins on the cross of Calvary. Such a magnitude gesture of love is almost beyond the bounds of our finite comprehensions. But that is because His loving kindness is immeasurable. And beloved, the wonder of all of this is that it is this loving Father who invites us to call upon Him. God our Father is not some distant deity who stands apart and aloof of our trials. He is not one who to sit sternly in condemnation of His children. Rather, because He did identify Himself completely with us through the birth, the life, and the death of His dear Son, He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He looks upon us with compassion and deep concern. And at every opportunity, He extends His helping hand to lift us up by His gracious Spirit. He is the Father of unsearchable riches, whose mercies endure through all generations, and who gives the hidden manna, the tree of life, the rivers of joy to His children. Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who finds, who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." Beloved, God is the Father of all riches, and His treasures cannot be exhausted. Earthly fathers oftentimes would love to be able to give more to their children and to provide for them better. But a father is always limited in what he is able to do for his children, whether that is financially, physically, or otherwise. But with our Father in heaven, this is never the case. He is an overflowing fountain of all good. His well never dries up. He will never run out of whatever it is that He wants to give us. He holds all of creation in His hand, and there is nothing in all of creation that He could not give us if He wanted to. And so we can look to Him for everything that we need, body and soul. The Catechism reminds us that the words, "Who art in heaven," teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty in an earthly way, and to expect from His almighty power everything needed for body and soul. Beloved, we are reminded here, first of all, that while there is certainly a personal intimacy implicit in addressing God as our Father, at the same time, He is still always God, the majestic One who dwells in heaven in unapproachable light. We read in 1 Timothy 6, verse 16, "God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to Him be honor and might forever." Beloved, God dwells in a high and lofty place of majesty, power, and dominion, where He is worshipped by myriads upon myriads of angels. God is so far above us that His exalted position demands always our worship and our respect. So while we may certainly come to God as our Father, we are also being taught that we must also do this always with utmost reverence. We need to always enter heaven's gate and come before His throne of grace in humble adoration. It means always being mindful that we are still creature and that He is Creator. In Jeremiah 23, verse 23, God says, Am I only a God nearby and not a God far away? Do I not fill heaven and earth? You know, too often we hear people address God almost as if he's their buddy, like they would someone on the street. They bring God down to their own earthly level, thinking that God is just like one of us. This can never be. We need to remember who we are and who God is, and never confuse these realities. But this phrase, who art in heaven, also teaches us to have great and complete confidence and reliance in our Father, since he is the God, the governor and the master and the Lord of all things in heaven and earth. Because he is who he is, we can expect from his almighty power everything needed for body and soul. The emphasis here is on his almighty power, that God is able to give us all things because of his almighty power. Everything in all of creation is at his beckoned command. Nothing is too great for his omnipotence, his power, and nothing too wonderful. When we approach our Father in heaven in prayer, we are in conversation with the Maker and Creator of heaven and earth, who tells us, who says to us, tell your Father what is on your mind. Speak to me about what you need. I am listening because I am your Father and you are my child. Love, in closing, because God is our loving Father, he wants to help us. And because he is our Father in heaven with infinite resources at his disposal, he is also always able to help us. Knowing this, may we in Christ, with childlike reverence and trust, always run to our Father in heaven, asking him for every good thing from his fatherly hands, all that we need for body and soul. Amen.